Shagya dubala chazelo chodo yaso che dumba jomden de deje cheva cha jomba ya zobe sanje riba dan yaso demba devara cheva chikden kemba kebo dube kalo lana meba lada menanje dumba sanje jomden de beja wa shagya dubala cha Do jazo je oi
Lama zangam po
Jizun jambe yala jaze lo Kange lo de temye tende nyenda namda rabze Chenye dungwe chishin seje nyeje doga lekpa manze Ganda sibe zara mare mendomo donge geze Dozo gun la poje taze yen la choje yande son Chukdar che cho nyomo nilong lege cha cho choze Mare menze tonye nyogo chenye chenze rade nam Tene taje saju taze yende lunzo jaze towe ku Chuda chuni gende talu menze jambe yanglande Omo arabaza nade Omo arabaza nade Omo arabaza nade Kenge gera veze ge talu temo memba rabze Kada denju shonlo doba ye lodu bobe Nawa zedo se Yoshi medo dhamma rira linshi nyende genpa de Sanje shindo mide mbuwa ye Chogun namda shinla chubara sho Dhamba ke nama ye Chugu kalai kenze dhinde ne Chedara tsambe duja zema la Sabje chedje chava abdo se Minda laga naya daya me Sange chanzoje chona la chanju padu tani jansu Tāgī chūshī jībē sō nāma jī Dōlā pēnshī sāngjī ndrū bārā shū Chūdā sō jī chūnā lā chāngjū bādō tāni jāsū chī Tāgī chūshī jībē sō nāma jī Dōlā pēnshī sāngjī ndrū bārā shū Sāngjī chūdā sō jī chūnā Chanchu bhadu dhani jyazu chi Tagi chushi jibhe sonama nye Dola penche sanye Cho Lada lami medami anchi Ombo dhan jyajin la so chuchi chola chawa chepa na Sanje sumba dhabdu chi shen tewe kyu kyu ba Dedaje ye dambe junye jene de je je namo la ye ge dan lu dan ne jin je du bun da da mi ge nam da do gun je chan nan chin sa tam je ge do da ge je dun do
It's okay. Good morning, and thank you very much for being here. I know today, because of tomorrow, it's a long weekend, and normally people make plans, go for holiday, outing, and all that. But you all prioritize, and you thought that this is the one to spend your time. So I appreciate that, and thank you. And as usual, I want to find out how has your week been? Anything to share? Any insight? I think this is good because, first of all, if I add this on weekly basis, you will be more careful. I must try to do something at least, to report something. This is like a homework, Yeah. And then also when you share here, and people will benefit from it. They will say, I didn't notice. I could also do this. Yeah, so that's why I thought that this is a very important part of our discussion. So please, if you have anything to share, please share. The floor is yours. Yeah, okay.
I honed in on gratitude of this human life and the conditions that are here for me, and also found making a wish that others also will have the proper conditions, and also in my work with others this week, I encourage them to have the gratitude.
Thank you. That's very good. Yeah, Ken.
I had the experience of one moment looking at my life, samsara, and seeing how much suffering was related to absolutely everything that I can think of. So one moment where I think I came close to being motivated towards renunciation.
Yeah. Very good. Okay.
Subject of gratitude, I am frequently reminded the last few weeks about, on one hand, the teachings remind us of being afraid to be reborn in lower realms, and to be careful of our actions. On the other hand, while human life is at last the time very precious and difficult to find, we should express gratitude to all the previous beings that have connected to our mind stream, allowed us to have, we've gotten here not on by our individual self this time, but by all the good karma and actions that have allowed us to be reborn in the presence of life. And I often have to remind myself to honor that.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Anyone?
Mary and I went to the state fair on Friday, and talk about a place to be able to have lots of people to wish well for and express your bodhicitta. There's hundreds of thousands of people there every day, all kinds of people. And among other things, I generally try to get to the political booths, both the Democratic and Republican ones, and talk to people there. And when I started to talk to the guy in the Republican booth, he started to recoil a little bit at first and said, I can talk to you, but not if you're going to shout at me. I can't talk back. It'd be terrible. I've had people shout so loud I can't talk back. And so I said, I've had that happen too. When we went on to have a very nice discussion, and especially since we're on polar opposite sides of the fence, it was nice to have a civil discussion with someone who I'd never met before, I may never see again. Neither of us really considered trying to change the other's mind about anything. We just had a very civil discussion and had some points of agreement. It was nice to have that meeting place with another person. I really felt good about that.
Okay, that's good, that's good. Yes, Cass.
Well, I do Tai Chi, and when I was in my Tai Chi group this week, we were talking about the different moves. And one is repulse monkey, which is taming the monkey mind. And one is the butt tiger mind, which is the analytical, kind of taming that mind. And then the teacher said, and why do you want to tame them both? And I said, because I'd like to attain emptiness. You know, and she said, yeah. You know, and it was sort of like a revelation for her, not for him, not having realized that. And I'm not even sure if that's correct, but that's what it meant to me, to tame all the minds. And I saw such a connection to my Buddhist practice on taming the minds, both analytical and the monkey mind.
Okay, thank you. Anyone? Don't feel pressured, but if you have, please. Yeah.
Well, there was another thing too. With what I said first is that, you know, I write my reflections after here, what I'm gonna focus on, and there was some about the Dalai Lama, you know, making sure that, you know, try to do my very best to make the best of this life, not just for me. So that was at least the intention.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. Okay, please.
One last night.
When we went to the 25th anniversary of to Tibet and my people coming here, and it was very long, and there was a lot of interesting things that were happening there. Like Governor Dayton came there. He never comes to into the Tibetan thing, so it was really nice. It was really an honor to having him there. And he had been to Tibet, and he had it was very, very good. But was, I think, the most funniest, and it irritated a lot of people there. But the most funniest thing for me there was humorous. Anyway, was we were in a space, and they had dancing and singing and music and culture, and all mostly Tibetans, and all the supporters of the Tibetans, and all the political representations of the. And then next door there was Latino people there and having their celebration, and they had sort of the Mexican music going, but really blaring, and it was just bleeding through the walls. And as we were trying to speak, just sort of silently, we were hearing this incredible cultural diversity. And that's what I find really funny. The Tibetans are like they rammed up their volume, and like they just like they had to have a taste of their music. And it was just a funny I call it the diversity of a cultural diversity, because yet there is like was it appropriate to put two cultures together that are that really like amplified music, I thought that was just sort of an interesting thing. But there it was quite long. So you had to have a patience and some sense of but it was interesting to note that if you know the people there, or the ones, at least some of them, not all, I don't know everybody there, but there's faces and things that bring it all around,
Yeah. Yeah. Anthony was true. I was there last night. And we were there by 4. And they only started serving at 7:30. We were all famished. There was not even one single finger food. No snacks in between, no tea. Yeah. So we all like, when are they going to serve food? That's all that was on our mind. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. Yeah, so I think, yeah, we all realize that, you know, the purpose of this meditation or reflecting on the precious human rebirth is to help us find what is important in your life. And when we don't think about this, we have so many important things which actually, if you really analyze and scrutinize, not important at all. It is just all about this life. And this, when you think about it, and then this will really, you know, make us help prioritize our things, our effort, where to commit our effort and time. So according to Lamrim, that what we have discussed, yes, I mean, the last week, is first, of course, is identifying the 8 leshas and 10 endowments. It is to say that, you know, we are very fortunate to have this life of leisure and endowment, but we normally don't think about it. So if we don't think about it, we don't realize the value it has, what it can do if we put to good use. If we put to good use, we can achieve enlightenment in this life. If not in this life, you can still achieve enlightenment in many lifetimes. And even if we are not able to achieve enlightenment, we can also achieve a liberation, a freedom from all suffering. And at the least, we can also guarantee or ensure us a good rebirth in future. So it has that kind of capability or potential. But we don't realize it. Because we don't realize it, we just fritter this opportunity away. So when we think of this, then we realize, oh, this is such a beneficial kind of a birth. And then yeah, we think that, oh, sometimes we may think that, oh yeah, I can, but this lifetime I can do something else, but next life I can really focus. But they're saying that there's no guarantee that you will obtain this kind of birth, this kind of life in your next life. We have no guarantee whether we will go down or go up, and most likely we will go down. So that's why I say that this is the opportunity where we should grab the opportunity and then extract the essence of this life. To His Holiness, the essence of this life is to practice compassion. So when you practice compassion, not only you will benefit from it, not only others will benefit from it, it will also benefit you. This will not only provide happiness to others, it will also provide happiness to oneself. And since His Holiness always say this, if you want to be a selfish, be a wise selfish. We are all the time concerned about ourselves. We always want happiness for ourselves. So He's not saying that if you want that, then just practice this. And this is also congruent to our fundamental aspiration. Our fundamental aspiration is to be free, and then free from suffering and to have happiness. So if that is really our aspiration, then practice compassion, which enables that. So that is like being congruent with our aspirations. That will fulfill our wish. So the main, as I mentioned earlier, so when you reflect on all this, so the whole purpose is when the final day comes, when you are on the deathbed, you want to look back and be able to say that, yes, I have lived a meaningful life. You want to be able to say that, yes, I have no regrets. So that's the whole purpose. Imagine now, if you are dying, evaluation of your life? Would you feel that you have lived a meaningful life? Or you have a lot of regrets, including myself. Many of us, I think, we have a lot of regrets. There are many things that we would like to do. But if the time has come, it's too late. So at the moment, the time hasn't come. We still have time. So we need to really, we really need to practice and ensure that we achieve or obtain a good rebirth in next life, optimum human rebirth. Then through that, we can progress. Of course, it is a gradual progress, but in order to ensure that we progress, we need to obtain human rebirth next life. Otherwise, if we are born in lower realms, that's it, we are stuck there for eons and eons. Then whatever we do now, it's like it's on hold, it's stopped. So that's why I'm saying that we have the time now, we have the opportunity, we have the external facility, we have nice place, we don't really have to struggle for shelter and food and all that. We are quite living comfortably. And then we also have teachers, Dharma centers, you can go anywhere. You can approach any monks or any lamas or any teacher and ask for instructions, ask for help. They are more than happy to guide you. So these are all available. If you are in a country or place where these are not available, if you are, you have no access to all this, then of course your practice will be taught. But here we are. We have all the facilities, so there's no excuse for not practicing. So that's the main, we have to get from this. This is very important. So we have first in the first week, we talked about what is Dharma practice. We talked about, you know, Dharma practice is all to do about future life. If we do any practice or any kind of virtuous practice or virtuous activity which is motivated for this life, then it does not become a Dharma practice. In order to qualify as a Dharma practice, at least it has to be motivated beyond this life, for the benefit of beyond this life. And then in the second week, I think we talked about, what was the second week topic? Is this the one?
Meditation.
Oh, meditation. Yeah, we talk about meditation. In meditation, we talk how to tame, how to, observe your mind. You have to identify the mental afflictions. These are the real enemies. Once you identify your real enemy, only then you will be able to do something about it, counter it. And then, we talk about this. Thirdly, we talked about precious women. We have to consolidate all this together. If you just leave, first week was on this one, and the second was this one, third week was this one, everything is there, and if you are not able to consolidate, if you are not able to bring it together to progress in your spiritual path, then you don't really get it. Because when Adisha first came to Tibet, Adisha was invited, you know the story. Adisha was invited to Tibet at the later part because Buddhism flourished, and then there was a period where Buddhism was actually dying. And to revive that, they have invited Lama Adisha from India. So at that time, Tibet already have translators, we call Lodzawa. So at that time, Lodzawa Rinzhen Sangpo, he was the main translator during the Adisha's time. So when Adisha arrived, so Adisha asked Rinzhen Sangpo, this translator, many questions. And Adisha was so impressed. Whatever text, whatever questions, whatever any topic on different texts, that translator was able to answer eloquently in detail and all that. So there was not even one single text that he wasn't able to answer. So then Adisha said, it looks like I don't need to be here. You already have a scholar. And then that evening, before going to bed, Adisha asked again this translator, so how would you put all this, consolidate all that teaching to in this framework for a person to achieve enlightenment. And then the other reason, no, you cannot do that. Individual is all separate. You cannot bring this here, you cannot bring this here. It's all separate. Then Namaji, oh yeah, now I see why I should be here. So this is the example. So many of you have read so many things, so many books. So you've read about this one thing, you've read about this thing, you heard from this thing. If you are not able to bring all this together into your practice, then it becomes like this. So that's why Lama Adisha composed this, the Lamrim, the lamb of the path, is it? Yeah. Lamb of the?
Lamb
of the path. Lamb of the path of lamb. Yeah. Yeah. Lamdren we call lamb of the path. Yeah. So that's why it's very important. We have to find a way to bring, you know, all this into our practice. So that's why we talked about these three levels of understanding. So most of the time we leave our understanding at the first level. We hear, we listen, we read, just that intellectual. We don't do anything about it. We just hear about it. Oh yeah, it's very interesting, you know, this one, this. That's it. We need to progress beyond it. We need to contemplate on whatever you have heard. That is the second level. And then when you get, you will have better understanding. It is not just hearing. You have your own kind of understanding. With that, then you can progress into meditation. That's how we progress. That's how the process of training the mind occurs. So that's important. I wanted to emphasize this one. So just to conclude, how to extract the meaning in our life. This is one way, His Holiness' advice. His Holiness says, every day, think as you wake up. Today, I am fortunate to have woken up. I am alive. I have a precious human life. I am not going to waste it. I am going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I'm going to have kind thoughts towards others. I'm not going to get angry or think badly about others. I'm going to benefit others as much as I can. So this is what His Holiness advises. So every morning when you wake up, of course, our habit is with me. I guess maybe you are also like me. The first thing we do is grab our mobile phone, see anything. That's what we all do. I mean, it's okay. I mean, if you're able to, first thing you have to remember is very good. If not, just spend a few minutes. If you normally do your morning meditation, that's very good. This is where you do this reflection. If you don't have your daily routine of morning prayers, then at least before going to work or whatever, just spend few minutes. It doesn't have to be in the prayer room. Just sit wherever is comfortable for you and just make this day's, what you call, kind of plan or determination that today I will try my best to be a good person. Today I will try my best to be helpful as much as I can. Today I will try my best not to be influenced by afflictive emotions. Today I will try my best to really spy on what is going on in my, all these three, what do you call, the body, speech and mind, the actions of these three. I will watch all this and I will try my best to regulate these emotions. I will try my best to generate the positive mental states like compassion, love, tolerance, patience, whatnot. with that kind of dedication, with that kind of commitment, and then you go on doing your things. And then during the daytime, try your best to remind yourself of the commitment you have made in the morning. When I went to university to do my undergraduate, almost every time when I have classes, I try to have that. Before entering my class, I tell myself, I will try my best to be kind, to not to be, you know, overpowered by all this. I think that really helped. That helped. And of course, if you make that kind of motivation in the morning, but you won't be able to remember, that's okay. Several from weeks and months, you won't be able to remember. You will forget about it because you will be, and you will, what do you call, your mind will be occupied with other things, you are doing things that you won't be able to remember. But every night, before going to bed, just spend a few minutes. Just reflect on your day. How was your day spent? Was it the day that you wanted to spend? Was it the day according to what you have decided in the morning? You kind of replay and then see what happened. If you find that you have really followed through your this commitment in the morning, then rejoice. Feel happy about it. And then make a stronger wish. Okay, this is very good. I was able to do that. May I be able to do that tomorrow as well. And then if you find that, if you have not really followed through, it's okay. Today, yeah, I did this and this wrongly, but it's okay. I will try my best tomorrow. So if you continue with this kind of habit, this kind of practice, then there will come a day that that kind of observation and doing all this becomes a part of your habit. It becomes a second nature. Then, yeah, when you are going to say something, you will be able to stop yourself. You have some thoughts coming in your mind, you are able to push back. You are going to do some physical thing, you will be able to stop yourself. So this is very good. So every night if you reflect and if you find that you have done, you have spent the day well, very good. You will have a very good sleep. And then day adds to a week, weeks add to months add to year. At the time of death, yeah, nothing to regret. You have lived your life meaningfully. So that's what we want to be able to achieve. Not just that, you know, we listen here, yeah, that's so great, the teaching is very good, oh, okay, go back, and then you don't do anything. Then no purpose, no point. But if you put that practice, it won't be instant, but you will see result. Yeah, that's the way to, that's one way to extract essence in our life, or of our life, this life. So that's a recap of the last week. So now we are going back to meditation, which we could not complete. So we watched the clip. Wandering mind is an unhappy mind. You all remember, yeah? So we will not discover. So now we are on the second part. Okay. What can you tell from this? It's quite self-explanatory, isn't it? Yeah, so concentration training. We talk about the concentration training. We talk about meditation. There are two types of meditation. Concentrated meditation and analytical meditation. So now we are more into concentration meditation. We also talk about the need for the union of these two. Remember, we have this analogy, the metaphor of the person who is trying to chop the tree. You need, first of all, you need your axe to be sharp, and then you also need a steady hand. So that axe, the sharp axe, is like the insight, the analytical meditation part. And then the steady hand is like the concentration. No matter, you know, how sharp the axe is, if your hand is not stable, you are not going to finish cutting that tree. Every time you hit, you are going to hit on a new area. No way you will cut that through. So that's why the importance of developing concentration is that you will be able to use the analytical meditation more effectively. So normally the concentration training is illustrated with this image, this metaphor. When people train elephant, they use a rope. They tie the rope to the elephant's neck, and then they tie the rope to the stick. And then this the trainer, so he will keep watch. He will be watching the elephant. The minute elephant wanders from that rope, then he will use that hook and, you know, hit on the sensitive ear there, and then the elephant will get back to the wherever he was tied, he's tied. So that's the metaphor. So likewise, our mind is akin to a white elephant. We have discussed about it. The destruction, remember, how a wild mind can cause such a disaster, not just in this life, but also it can bring us down to the lower ends. So that's why normally our wild mind is portrayed as a wild elephant. And then mindfulness is like the rope. Every time when we try to focus or remain on an object, that is like the stake. So mindfulness is like the rope that is tying our attention to the object. So the moment our mind wanders away from the object, then we have to bring it back. So introspective vigilance or introspective awareness is the one who is keeping an eye on our mind, whether mind is wandering or whether mind is on the object. So any moment it goes away, it wanders away, it chases after thoughts, this introspective vigilance will become aware of this, and then that's how we bring it back. So that's the whole process of training training in concentrated meditation. So it is like the two mental muscles at work. So of course the mindfulness, in Sanskrit is called sati or smriti. Sati is, Pali word. So mindfulness definition is mental faculty that holds the mind on its object of focus and retains it without wandering. Of course, this is in this context. By smriti in Tibetan is called temba. So there is a big discussion whether the translation was adequate. There's a whole issue there. So in Tibetan, temba can mean so many things. Recollection, memory, and then of course it's like remembering to bring there. There's different connotations, different meaning. But English word they use just mindfulness. So anyway, in this context, so mindfulness, when we talk about mindfulness, is the mind that holds on its object of the focus. So if you are resting your mind on your breath, so that mind is remembering to keep your mind on the object is what is called mindfulness. And then we have this called introspective vigilance or introspective awareness. Is like the spy, which the surveillance camera. So if you have a surveillance camera, it is always watching you. Any intruder comes, it sees. Any people goes away, it captures here. So it is this kind of, so you imagine that, yeah, introspective vigilance is the mind, mental faculty that is keeping an eye on the activity of our mind. So when we do concentrated meditation, so this is actually more of a shamadhi, but we are just talking general concentrated meditation. So there are five obstacles. So the first one is laziness. We can all relate to this. Yeah, especially early mornings when it's raining, yeah, we don't want to get up. No, not today, isn't it? Yeah, so anyway, laziness, there are three types of laziness. The laziness of not wanting to do anything. That we can relate to. We don't want to, because it is uncomfortable. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And then laziness of discouragement. That is, you know, with, oh, I won't be able to, this is not for me. I cannot do that. I don't have the ability to do that. So you just discourage yourself. You haven't even tried yet. But you just, oh, I cannot do that. This is not for me. So some people say, oh, you meditate. No, I cannot do it. I cannot meditate. But you haven't even tried. So that's how it kind of prevents you, precludes you from, you know, being able to meditate. And then the laziness of being busy with worldly things. That one also we know. Yeah, meditate. First, I have other things. You know, I have to do this. I have to do that. Let me finish this, and then if there's time, I'll do that. This is all about prioritizing. We always find excuses not to do. That's also kind of a laziness. That's one. That's the one. Laziness is one of the obstacles. That thought. Do you pronounce thought?
Thought. Yes.
Thought. Yo. Yeah. thought. Is it? Thought.
Yes.
Okay. Am I saying correctly?
Yes.
Well, it depends. Okay. Are you saying you're thinking, or are you saying
thought prevent?
Okay.
T W A R T.
Thought.
Prevent. Okay. Thought. I'm trying to use, you know, different words.
You're doing great.
Takes
time. Gradual.
Yeah. Thought. Yeah. And then the second one is forgetfulness. So here when we talk of forgetfulness, it's forgetting the object. So you are trying to, let's say, traditional meditation, we will cover later. We will try to have an image of Buddha. Let's say Buddha's image. We're trying to focus on the Buddha's image. And then, yeah, we may forget the image, the Buddha, how Buddha looks like, all this. So that is also one of the obstacles. If you cannot remember your object, of course, you are just being blank. We already discussed that. Blanking your mind is not meditation. And then we have this excitement and laxity. So this is the main obstacle. So excitement is distraction. That's what we said, yeah, monkey mind. When we try to focus on the one object, our minds just jumps all over the place. I think I mentioned one time, it's like popcorns. Pop, 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 pop. So that's excitement. They use the word excitement. And then laxity is this feeling of lethargy, you know, feeling of drowsiness. Sometimes you have been trying to do this thing, yeah, you feel, you know, there is no clarity. So there are two. One is clarity and one is stability. So when you have a lot of excitements, there's no stability. It keeps jumping. And then when you are having this feeling of laxity, then there is no clarity. You are a bit dull. It's like, you know, you're being overwhelmed by drowsiness. So when you are in that kind of mood, of course, we were not able to focus. And then non-application. Non-application here means that when we have these obstacles, like excitement, we are supposed to apply antidote to that. If your mind is wandering all the time, you are supposed to bring back. But if you don't do that, that's also an obstacle. Because you are not really meditating, you are just letting the mind wherever it wants to wander. And then likewise, if you are feeling lethargic, also you need to apply. It's a countermeasure. So that is, you know, you think about, reflect on benefits, all this, just to uplift yourself. So these, when there is need to apply these antidotes, there needs to counter these, and if you don't do that, that's also an obstacle. And then other is over-application. Sometimes, yeah, your mind is already, you know, is on the focus, but if you keep trying to, you know, do this, it's over-application. So that does not help. You don't need to do that. That will be not beneficial. So in all, it all can be sort of kind of summed up. The main obstacles are these two: mental excitement and drowsiness. In the picture, you see this. Of course, he is thinking, but normally when we do something here, this happens to me. Even when I am doing my prayers, it's like I'm doing prayers, and then suddenly, you know, that's why they say that, you know, if you want to remember something, if you cannot remember something that you have to do, you know, you know that there's something I need to do, but I cannot remember. They said that, sit down and meditate. If you go and try to meditate on something, all this will, you will remember. Oh yeah, I have this to, I have to do this, I have to do that, I need to do that. So that's why they say that if you have difficulty remembering the things that you need to do, just go and try to meditate. And that's where all this will come to light. So that's what happens. We try to meditate on something and then our mind wanders, really travels all over the world. And another one is, the drowsiness, sleepiness. So in Lamrim, to counter this, there are corresponding antidotes. So there are 8 of them: faith, aspiration, effort, suppleness, pliancy, and then mindfulness, awareness, application. So we can go through one by one. So how does this correspond? Have you finished? You want to write down? Sure. Do you need time? You just let me know if you need time. You better write down because there will be a quiz. Got it? Okay. So laziness. To counter laziness, all these 4 comes in. Of course, the main antidote is this suppleness and pliancy. So pliancy or suppleness, in this context, it means that, you know, you have the flexibility. You gain this what you call flexibility, that no matter how long you sit or you rest your mind on an object, you don't feel any discomfort. You can sit in meditation for hours and hours, and the surrounding noise, whatever it is, you become oblivious to all that. That's when, of course, you achieve the shamatha. So people can remain in this shamatha for days. And I think those who know of Lama Sopa Rinpoche, any students? Yeah. Rinpoche all the time teaches during the night time. And normally Rinpoche's teaching are like, it's not 1 hour, 2 hour, you know. It's always, yeah, it will be like, okay, the sun is out, and still Rinpoche is going on. And then he will visit a center, and then, yeah, with all that program, and you were so exhausted, and when finished, you are thinking of resting. And then Rinpoche travels to another center, and he gives up. It's like, how can human body can survive that? It's like, sometimes I wonder, you know, if a scientist want to examine his anatomy or whatever, because they say that if you cannot sleep certain number of hours, your body cannot. But it looks like Sabarumachi doesn't get that enough sleep. Daytime he is doing something else, nighttime he is teaching. When do we get time to sleep? But he's always active. Maybe, yeah, he has achieved shamatha. That's why, no problem. So we want to achieve that kind of ability, isn't it? It was so nice. So main purpose is to achieve this one. Once you have that will, really, and very that will be the real counter or antidote to laziness. But there are these steps to arrive at that. First is the belief, or the faith, actually is faith. So first you need to understand the benefits of developing this concentrated meditation or shamatha. So this is, of course, in relation to shamatha. So when you understand the benefits or the advantages of developing that kind of mental ability, then you will be motivated to develop that. That's where the aspiration comes in. So first you need to see the benefits, then the aspiration arises. And when you have aspiration and faith, all this, you will put effort. And that leads to developing this ability. And that's how it can counter. But of course, normally is the antidote is perseverance. We have to put effort, we have to persevere, we have to continue working hard. But I think in Tibetan, I mean the translation for perseverance, we don't use perseverance. It's called joyful effort. So there is a reason for that. Joyful effort. So there was a story I heard from someone, is that there was once a meditator in Dharamsala, and he was really into the practice, and he had been doing practice for years, but he couldn't see any progress. So he was so disappointed, and he went to see His Holiness. And he felt that at that time, it's like whatever he's doing is not worthwhile. He's not getting anywhere. So His Holiness' advice was that, okay, you go back and just walk in the street of Makhlodganj. Anybody been to Dharamsala? That tiny little street is called Makhlodganj. It's really what you call hustle and bustle. It's a very, busy street. It's a narrow street, but there are a lot of things happening. People was there are all these stalls on the roadside. So His Holiness' advice is to go and just observe what people are doing. And then go back and read the Perseverance chapter. So he was like, why did His Holiness ask me to read the Perseverance chapter? Of course, he understood that when he walked and observed the street, he realized the meaning there, because everybody was engrossed in this life's business. Right. Everybody was just, whatever they are doing, he can tell that there's no essence. It's all for this life. But what he is doing is actually doing more than that, greater than what people are doing. So he realized, okay, what I'm doing is worth pursuing. But then he was a bit perplexed. Why would His Holiness ask me to read that chapter when I am already putting so much effort? And then he read and he realized, oh, joyful. You have to do with joy. if you just push yourself without joy, finding joy in doing that, then that's, you won't get anywhere. That's where you will develop stress. That's actually with our own work. If you have a job that you really like, enjoy doing, you don't find it, what do you call, difficult, or, you know, you don't feel tedious, you don't find dreading to go to work. You are always looking forward to go to work because you really enjoy that. So likewise, when we do meditation or whatever practice, we must have that element. You must try to have this joyful enjoyment part. So how do we have that? That one, we need to see the benefits. That's why you notice that in all the teachings, every topic begins with extolling whatever the topic is. Let's say if the Lamrim is talking about compassion, it begins with the benefits of cultivating compassion. Because when you see the benefit, when you understand the benefit of that practice, then yeah, as here you see that aspiration arise. And then you want to put effort. You won't find it, you know, so difficult or, you know, unhappy about it. You will do with such joy. So that's why it is important. Whatever we do, sometimes when you feel like you don't want to do, it's a bit difficult, you think of, contemplate on the benefits. And you also think about how fortunate I am to be able to do this. That's what every morning I do. I wake up around 5 a.m. and I do my prayer. Sometimes, you know, it's like a bit like, oh. Then I thought, oh, I'm so grateful. I'm doing this practice. Others are sleeping, snoring away, and here I am. I'm so fortunate. Whenever I think that, it kind of wakes me up, lifts me up. So that's very good. I find that very effective. So you can also try. Sometimes, you know, you have to do prayer and then your mind is not really in it. And then you think about, oh, how many people at this time have the fortune or the merit to do this practice? Not many. Especially when you wake up early and you think about when everybody is sleeping, you know, how many we count? And very few. That's something to be, you know, rejoice about. So it works for me. Of course, we all have different mental dispositions, but why not? No harm, give it a try. If it works, good. If it doesn't work, try to find something else. So these four are the antidotes to laziness, to counter laziness. And then forgetfulness, of course, mindfulness. You forget the object, so you remind yourself and bring it back. And then excitement and dullness. So when these two arises, what can help is if you are vigilant in really watching your mind. This awareness helps. When you keep watching your mind, whenever it wanders, bring it back. Whenever you feel like it, you know, then you can changing your posture can help. And even it is advised that sometimes when you do meditation, if you feel lethargic, maybe just opening your eyes and letting light in can also help. So you have to find out what helps. And you have to do that. So that's the awareness. And then, yeah, application. So when these two obstacles arises, you have to apply the corresponding antidotes. And then, of course, over-application. So over-application, in some texts they use equanimity. So instead of doing anything, just be in equanimity. So you are doing fine. So no need to, you know, exert any application. So that's how we tackle these obstacles. Okay, so today we are going to do something different, which is not really different. It is Kachuling's tradition. So we are going to break 10 minutes at 11 each session so that you can enjoy a cup of tea and then you can also bond. Because I realized that when we have tea at the end, people just walk away. There is no time to bond. It is good to, you know, have some conversation and also, yeah, give our brain a bit of rest. So that's what we are going to do. So just now I remembered on time. If I don't remember, just cue me. It's time. Yeah, yeah, at 11 every time. Okay, please enjoy. Cup of tea is there. Anthony has prepared, all laid on the table. Sitting at the back row, you have no difficulty hearing me?
Okay. We just can't hear talking when we're talking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it just reminded me when Ken used the gong. You know, you know Gyudu Monastery there, yeah? So there's a saying that, I mean, in Giluk Monastery, there are three main big monasteries. It's more like a, you know, where we, it's a learning institute for Buddhist philosophy. Then when it comes to ritual and tantra study, you go to these two schools. So there's one is Gyudu Monastery, another one's Gyume Monastery. So when you graduate from monastery, when you become geshe, so you can choose to spend 1 year in Gyudu or Gyume based on where you belong. So I belong to Gyudu. So that's why I'm wearing, even though I'm a Rinpoche, I'm wearing just the red one. But if you're from that school, you will wear the yellow one. So you see that all Gyudu ones, they all wear red one. Yeah. But if you belong to Gyume school, then yeah, you can wear the yellow tonga. Yeah. So yellow tonga, so if you see a monk who wearing this, so he could be either from Gyume Monastery, a monk of Gyume Monastery, or a Rinpoche, or a Geshe. But of course, all if you don't see that, doesn't mean that that is not Rinpoche or Geshe. Here, you see me. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Gyudu, there's a saying that Gyudu monks can attain enlightenment just attending the puja sessions, the prayer sessions. It is because that their pujas are really, really long hours, and I was there for 7 months. Let's not get into details. Yeah, their puja prayer session, some of the prayer session will begin at 3:30 in the morning, and it will go on until 8:30. And then the first session will be like 4 or 5 hours. And the interesting part is, you finish the first session, you are walking out to use the washroom, and then the gong goes as you are going out. It's like, really have to run. So that's why it is, you know, what do you call? Yeah, you have to spend hours sitting, trending this. They said, yeah, if your motivation is pure, yeah, you can purify a lot and you can achieve enlightenment. You don't have to go into caves. Yeah, I mean, just reminded me. And why am I doing okay. So now we are coming to the practical parts. So we have talked about, you know, in theory, you know, meditation, all this. So now coming to the practice. So what are the postures, recommended postures? So there are various postures. The first one you see is called full lotus, where you rest your foot, each foot on the opposite thigh. So that's very difficult. I don't do that. It is too difficult. Of course, they said that is the most conducive for your meditation. because of how your body is formed and how the channels and the winds flow. Yeah, there is the benefits based on that. And then, yeah, the very common one is what you call the half lotus. Of course, here picture half lotus, not really half lotus. Half lotus is what we sit. That, yeah, I think is that image is a bit, yeah, confusing. I didn't realize. And then, of course, the Japanese and all this, they have their way of sitting, sitting posture. So the most important is you need to be comfortable. That's the main thing. If you are able to sit in full lotus or half lotus, that's very good. If you are unable to do that, just find a comfortable position. You could sit on the chair or cushion or wherever. But the important thing is try not to lean back. You must straighten your back. Because if you do this, there is a chance of falling. Yeah, falling asleep. And then the traditional, there are 7 ways, which is recommended, 7 ways of sitting posture. So the first is leg in the lotus position. That's okay. You can sit in half lotus. And then your spine, the back, should be straight, upright. Not too, slanting this way, or not too, like, because they say that if your head is too high, all this, there's chances of distraction, likelihood of getting distracted. You have to balance that. And then place your right hand. So that is what we normally do. This is what is depicted normally. So you have your right hand, put your left hand on top of it, and then you form a triangle and hold it just about your navel. That's one way. That's the traditional way. But of course, if you feel more comfortable to rest your hands on your thigh or leg, do so. So here we want to feel comfortable. Otherwise, you won't be able to endure your meditation session. Then shoulder should be level. It's not like this, So you should be level and also relax, not too tense. And then mouth and teeth also let it rest naturally. And then they say the tip of the tongue should rest on your upper palate, because the reason is that if you do a long session, sometimes, the drooling will happen. So when you have this, when you rest your tip of the tongue on your upper palate, somehow it prevents drooling and, dripping or whatever. Yeah.
A question about the right hand on top of the left, mm-hmm. With tongue touching.
Mm-hmm.
With tongue touching or not?
Sorry?
With thumb touching?
Yes, thumb touching. Not? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thumb touching. Yes.
Is there any difference, the gender difference of the right and the left hand being on
the I think in Sutrayana we do this. This is the normal common practice. Right and then left on the right on top of left.
Like if you were left-handed though.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. Because you can rest your hands here. So it's not a big issue. Mm. And then your eyes should be almost closed. According to this one. So there are 2 ways. You can either opt to close your eyes, but you have to do it gently. Don't, squeeze your eyes. Then, it will be painful, uncomfortable. And you can just let it open slightly, gaze softly. If you open too much, of course, there's a distraction. And then, normally it said that you have to look on the tip of your nose, looking down like this. Not this, because then, there's a distraction. So if you kind of look down, slightly open. So anyway, these are all whatever is most comfortable to you. That matters. If you find it more comfortable to close your eyes, normally for beginners, I think that for beginners, it's easier to close your eyes because then you have less distraction. But then when you advance into your practice, maybe you can try doing that with your eyes open. So these are the traditional seven ways the meditation of meditation posture. And now is the object. So what should we focus on? What is our meditation object? So actually you can choose anything. Flower, table, whatever. You can choose any of these. But the common practice is breath. You can see that most of the meditation, they use breath to focus your mind on. And then, of course, there are in the actual this mindfulness meditation, it is translated as the four foundational mindfulness. So they use this body, feeling, mind, and phenomena. So that's one way. And then, yeah, as a Buddhist, because we want to, there's not a really good proverb, but we have saying, killing two birds with one stone. Isn't it? Is there a phrase? So we are trying to do that. We want to develop our concentration. At the same time, we want to cultivate merit. So if we are able to use Buddha's image, then we are achieving that two goals. We are trying to develop your concentration as well as at the same time, you are also cultivating because you are focusing on holy image. So now the question, okay, so these are some examples, holy image. You may have your own object. But the important point is, when we say use a holy image, you have to see the image through the eye of your mind, not visual. We look at picture and then you started to do this. You just watch that. That's not meditation. That's not right. That's you are using visual. You are not using your mind, your thought. So here you are trying to have this image and you are trying to look through the eyes of your mind. So that I hope I am getting the point. You see, some people, what they do is they think that it's right. They just look at and focus here and just focus that, look at the image. So that's you are only using your visual. You are not using your mind. So you have to, first you can look. In order to get a clear image, you can use any image. You look at the image and then you try to visualize that image. And then you know, try to focus your mind on that. At the beginning, there won't be any clarity. You will just have a kind of rough sketch of Buddha's image. When you have the Buddha's head, you may not have Buddha's body. But that's okay. That's okay. We don't expect to have the full clarity at the beginning. But if you continue, then yeah, the image will get clearer and clearer. So don't get discouraged if you try to do this and then, oh, I'm not getting any image. As long as you have something there, an image there, just continue on that. So this is how we should do. So this is all the image I found. So if you're sitting on this, they say that some say forehead, some say eyebrow. So wherever it's somewhere here, the distance is 4, some say 6. So it doesn't really matter. Just about 4 feet in front of you, and then you visualize that. And the image should be as small as possible. Why we need to be small? Because we are trying to develop single-pointed concentration. If your image is too big, then you are not really narrowing. It is too big. We are trying to focus on one object. So the smaller, the better. But if it's too small, of course, you won't be able to visualize anything. So normally the recommended size is 2 inches tall. Or height, 2 inches in height. And then you try to focus on that and try to remain in that. So image you can use. So also when you visualize that image, imagine that that image radiating light. That helps for your clarity. And then also imagine that a heavy one. That this is that helps to help you to prevent from destruction. Because if it's a weighty or heavy one, somehow it helps. So don't imagine it very light, feather like, then it won't. It's not good way to do. So we can try just for maybe 2 minutes. So you first choose whatever image. And if you normally say it's up to you, if you are, what you can choose any object. If you are from different faith, you can choose cross or Jesus or whatever. Whatever is easier for you. So if you are Buddhist and if you really want to, use this opportunity to cultivate merit as well, then use Buddha's image. So let's try. So I will just ring this bell, and then you try to hold that image in your mind as long as possible. We will do for maybe just try for 1 minute. Here we go. How was that? Is it easy? Want to share?
If you've been doing it for a while. If you're just starting, I think it depends, It really depends on your ability. If you're blessed with imagination.
How was it now, just now?
It was fine. Fine in the sense that
okay, that's good. Yeah. Anyone want to? Okay.
I had a nice sense of ease equanimity doing it. The thing is that my distraction is I get carried away with that and I lose the image.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Other times I didn't have this time, but sometimes it's more physical discomfort that just distracts me.
Mm.
But this time it was. A nice sense of equanimity, I hope.
Okay, good. For me, my mind wandered all the time. Couldn't really focus.
I feel like it was really difficult to just jump into that minute.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes, you know, I understand. Yeah. But what became aware, what I became aware of is, it's a bit hot here. That's what I realized.
I went at the break, I went to Rinpoche, and I wanted to change what I've had, and they said, you know, it's not good to do that, but I had to because I wasn't happy with the one that I had.
Mm.
And so this time I was excited, and I, you know, in terms of a joy, you know. And so I was able to do it a little bit, and sometimes it just would just go poof, and then a little bit the old one, which is also of a Buddha, but the old one would come back, but it kept coming in, the new one. So I was rather happy
okay,
with this,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It didn't stay, but it kept coming back,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was the first time. You know,
yes, yes. So that's the main point. Of course, especially if you are doing for the first time, your mind will wander, no question. But the main thing is you have to bring it back. Bring your mind back to the focus, to the object. So you have to do that repeatedly. And then, yeah, then only then you will feel it. And then, as I mentioned earlier, so as you do this, sometimes you feel that you are not progressing. You feel that you are actually worsening. That is because you became more aware. Your awareness has developed. So now you can sense all the distraction better. So that's not to be discouraged. Actually, you are improving. Your sense of awareness has improved. So that's why you are able to notice all the distraction, which earlier you were oblivious to it. Hmm. So now there are some tips for beginners. Of course, you are not beginners. The first one is time. When should we meditate? That is a very common question. You can do meditation any time of the day, but the ideal is to do in the morning. The reason is that morning, you have just woken up from 6 hours or 7 hours rest. Your mind is rested. Imagine if you tried to do after you came back from work. Your brain was already fried. During the daytime, you have to do so many things. And then if you had a bad experience, no way you will be able to really focus. So that's why the ideal time is to do in the morning. Then how long should we do? It says for the beginner, shorter the better. Normally, our tendency is first when we get into this, we are so excited and we try to overdo it. We try to do, you know, half an hour, and then, yeah, as this goes by, we get tired. We don't want to do it. So that's why it says that try to do 5, 10, 15. And you do more of this, more session. More session, but shorter. If you want to do half an hour, you just divide that into 10 minutes. And then instead of doing one session, you can just break up into 3 sessions. That would be better quality. And then where should we do? The recommended place of meditation is a quiet one. It's a common sense. If you are doing in a very noisy place, of course, you get constantly distracted. So you have to find a place that is quiet. Of course, once you have progressed, once you have advanced, then yeah, all this external condition does not really matter. You have somehow have control over these environments. It doesn't really affect you. But for beginners, it is better to choose a quiet place. So how should we go about it? First, it says that just observing the breath. So there, of course, that the traditional practice in Lamrim and all this, we don't see the actual meditation being focused on breathing. Breathing is like the preliminary practice. That is to really neutralize, level our mental attitudes. Because sometimes when we just sit down to begin our practice, our minds were in, you know, in hold of strong anger or attachment. Something is disturbing you. So you cannot go straight away into meditation. You just need to level that. So that's why mind is like child. Let's say if a baby is throwing a tantrum. So you can say, oh, come, here's a lollipop. And when you see the lollipop, you'll just enjoy. Forget the whatever that the child was throwing tantrum about. So likewise, mind. Your mind is occupied with this one. So when you kind of direct the attention on your breath, somehow it loses what it was occupied with. So that's where we can level our mind. So normally the example is like coloring. If you want to color a cloth, you cannot have a black colored cloth and you try to color that white or let's say yellow. No way. You need to have a white one. If the cloth is white, then you can color it whatever color you want. So it's like dyeing a cloth. And then also another tip is reflect. Reflection. Before you do your meditation, reflect how lucky we are to have the new day of life with new opportunities. So this will help you to help you to motivate in doing this practice, because you feel so fortunate, like the way I shared with you about my experience. When I feel that, oh, I'm so lucky to be able to have this opportunity to do practice, somehow it lifts you up and then you're able to do that. So that's the reason for that. And then encourage oneself to meditate regularly by thinking of its benefits. So this one also helps towards reducing laziness or preventing laziness when you constantly reflect on the benefits, then you want to do it more and more. So that helps.
Can you go back, please?
Sorry?
Can you go back?
Yeah. Shall we? Okay. Let's begin the practice by finding a relaxed, comfortable posture. If you are on a cushion on the floor, you could sit in a full lotus posture with each foot resting on the opposite thigh. If you cannot sit in a full lotus posture, you can sit in half lotus. If you have difficulty sitting on the floor, you can sit on a chair or in whatever position that is most comfortable to you. Your spine should be straight like an arrow. Hold your head slightly bend forward. Shoulders should be level and relax, neither slouching nor stiff and tense. Place your two hands in the meditation gesture, the right hand on top of the left hand, with the thumbs touching about your navel. Alternatively, you could place your hands on your thigh with the tips of your fingers resting on your knees. Let your mouth and teeth rest in a natural position. The tip of your tongue should rest gently on the upper palate, just behind the teeth. Let your eyes relax. You could either gently open them or gaze softly in front of you at an angle where, if you were to gaze, you would see the tip of your nose. Let's take 3 deep breaths. Each time, breathing all the way down into your belly, as if you were filling up the torso with in-breath from the bottom to the top. Breathe in this way and feel your belly rising each time as the air fills in. When you exhale, let your breath out at a slow, measured pace. Again, breathe in a deep breath and imagine feeling your body with revitalizing energy, and release the breath slowly and feel yourself relaxing. On the final deep breath, draw in all your attention into this moment and release your breath slowly, feeling yourself drop into your body and into the present moment. Now bring your attention to the awareness, to the present moment. Choose a pace of breathing that is not long, not short, but relax one. Notice where you feel the breath in your body. It could be the tips of your nostrils, where you feel the subtle sensation as you breathe in and out. Or your belly, where you feel the sensation of its rising and falling as you breathe. Once you have the focal point, just breathe in and out while resting your mind on that focal point. There is no need to think about your breath, nor control it. Simply let your body breathe at its natural pace. And experience the incoming and outgoing breath. When you do this, you will notice that your mind has wandered. You may start thinking about other things. When this happens, it is not a problem. It is very natural. Just notice that your mind has wandered and gently bring it back to your breath. It is important not to judge yourself when this happens. Simply notice your mind has wandered and bring your attention back to the focal point and continue resting on it. you can gently open your eyes and come out of the meditation. How was it? So it is advised that at the end of it, you do another round of deep breathing. It will help you to relax. Sometimes some people may find it stressful because you are trying to focus, trying to bring back your minds. So if you end with a deep breathing, that kind of relaxes that stress. So how did it go? Did your mind wander?
Yes, of course.
So that's how we are going to do on meditation days. Actually, I have prepared another, you know, what we have discussed on the Precious Human Rebirth. So this is what is called the concentrated meditation. Then we have the analytical meditation. I have prepared this. Of course, I won't be able to memorize it. So my plan is to read this slowly so that, you know, you can get in. But we are running out of time. And I think we had enough for today. So any questions? No question. Did I address your query?
Yeah, that was what I needed. Thank you.
Okay. So if no question, then thank you very much. And we will see you all next Sunday.
We should say the dedication prayers as always.
Definitely. Yeah. Actually, it's good to, you can start with the mandala offering, short mandala offering, and then followed by this. Limbo je ma je pana je gyo je ke ba nyam ba me ba ya kone kondo pe wa sho je tsu na me ku tse rab den je nam gara te le cho jo je ba ta mo zan den be jo me sa so nye jo ve me ze ta tu ne gyo ro je Rangri korve shengamso pendam dewa malu jomene chenre sewa tenzin jazo ye jabe se de bandu ten yoroche jampel pavu chidara kemba ta kundu sambo deya dejente teta kunjin jesu dalo che yawa deda tamje rabdo Shigbe gyawa tamje gi Mowa kama chotu ngapa de Tagi gibe tsawa di kunya Sambo chiji rabdu mowa de